Thank you, musicians. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we've been able to sing about you and praise you, worship you in giving. And now, Lord, we want to worship you by sitting under the ministry of your word. And we certainly do pray that your spirit will be in and amongst us, ministering to us. Lord, I pray that we would give your word the respect it deserves and put aside the thoughts of what may happen this afternoon or what has already happened this week. And Lord, consider your word this morning and allow you to minister to us. And I pray and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever met someone. You might even find yourself to be someone like this. But generally, most people don't think they are, but someone who always seems to hit the ground running, so to speak. When they fall, they always seem to land on their feet, if you put it that way. Or if they fall, they land in a better position than what they were before. And everything they seem to touch turns to gold. Everything seems to go right for them, no matter when you think things are going bad, it ends up turning out good for them. Don't know if you've ever met someone like that, or you feel like you're that yourself. You might think one of your siblings are like that. How come they get all the good things and I have to struggle all the time? Well, one man in the Word of God that certainly could be put into that category was Solomon. Solomon started well, and things just kept getting better for him. And if you don't believe me, let's just have a little look at his life to see how it started well and continued to get better as it went along. Would you please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 for me, please? We'll just have a little bit of a Bible study, so to speak. We read in chapter 12 and verse 24 this. When I can find. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. So from the beginning of his life, it is stated that the Lord loved Solomon. Now, I'd like to think the Lord loves every child, but we have recorded in God's word that the Lord certainly loved him. And so it started off well. Not only was he, when he was born, loved by God, but we know that he was born as the son of a king. He wasn't the son of a peasant. He wasn't even a son of someone in middle class, but he was the son of a king. Now that's a very good start. Not only was he the son of a king, but he was the son of King David. King David, the one who feared God, the one who God loved, the king who loved his people and loved his children, no doubt as well. And so things just kept getting better for Solomon even before he realized it. Loved by God, the son of a king, not only a king, a great king by the name of King David. And when his father was near death, we're told in the Word of God that he chose Solomon to be his heir and take over the throne. Now, that was a very strange thing because Solomon was down the list of those who were able to take on. He wasn't the next one in line to be king. But David saw something in Solomon. In fact, God saw something in Solomon and told David to do so. And so he sort of skipped the run and he got to become king instead of his brothers. And so things were kept getting good for him. And then if you turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3, we have that well-known little verse. In once he had been made king, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee." And so he didn't just become king. Now God appears to him and says, "Solomon, what would you like me to give you? You get a wish." Now, I don't think there's anywhere else recorded in God's word that someone gets that opportunity. God says, "Okay, I'll give you one wish. What would you like?" But this was what happened to him. And I do wonder what went through his mind when God asked him this or gave him this request. I wonder if other things came into his mind first before asking for wisdom to be able to lead his people. I'm sure if you grew up in the Christian home and you went to Sunday school and you heard this story, or even as an adult, you might stop and think, I wonder what I would say if God gave me one wish. I know God would probably zap me straight away if I had asked for this, but you could ask for a million more wishes, all right? That's your one wish, but that may not have gone down too well with the Lord. But yeah, you often wonder, what would I ask for? And you might be thinking to yourself right now in your life, well, if God gave me one wish, I know what it'd be. Because you think to yourself, if only I could have this, then I'd be happy. Or only if I could change this about my life, man, I would be so happy. That would be my wish. And often when we stop and consider what we would actually ask for, all it does is reveal how discontented we are with what God has given us and how much full of unbelief we are that God will give us all that we need now. He has promised that to us and that He alone is enough. You know, if you think of something and it's sort of worldly, it's probably a good indication that you're not thinking that the Lord Jesus is enough for you. But if we're all honest, I suspect that wisdom to do God's work better wouldn't be the first thing on our list, would it? I don't have a clue what I'd really ask for, but I think I could be honest enough to say that if God said, Alan, you got one wish, what would you like me to do? To say, God, I just want the wisdom to be a better pastor to Golden City Baptist Church. I would like to think I'd say that, but I'm not going to stand here and say that I would say that. I know that it'd be the best thing for you. I know that it'd be the best thing for the Lord and for myself, and it'd certainly be the most unselfish thing, but to actually forgo all the other things that you might be able to get for, instead of asking for wisdom to serve the Lord better, I don't know what I would actually do. But it's a decision that Solomon did make. And what a wonderful attitude that he had. God knew what he was doing when he was choosing Solomon at this stage to be the king. He chose wisdom to rule the Lord's people over riches and revenge and pleasures and so on. And this certainly shows the heart of Solomon. He was a man who did love the Lord. He was a man who loved his people, and he wanted to do the very best for the children of Israel. He had a desire to do the Lord's work and to do it well more than anything else. And that's the wonderful thing. He wasn't just content with being the king and having the power that comes along with that. He wanted to be a good king to God's people. And that's why he asked for wisdom to do so. And friends, there's a very good lesson for us in this when it comes to having the right attitude that God's looking for in us. We all have blessings that have come from the hand of God. We all have responsibilities that are given to us, ultimately from the hand of God as well. And I would encourage you, as I'd encourage myself, don't be simply content with having that responsibility. But seek to be the best you can in the sight of God with that responsibility. If God has blessed you to be married, seek to be the best husband or the best wife in the sight of God. If God has blessed you with children, don't be just simply happy to be a parent, but seek to be the best parent that you can. If you are given responsibilities in the local church, don't just be thankful that you have a responsibility. Why don't you ask God for the wisdom and the help to be the very best you can as you serve the Lord in this local church? If it's when it comes to being a musician or whatever, anything else there is. Don't just seek to be that thing. Seek God's help to be the best you can. That's what Solomon was wanting. And if you're wondering, well, I don't get that wish like Solomon. Well, we do know in James we have this promise, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to us liberally. And so if you lack wisdom, well then God says, come and ask me, seek his word, pray for his wisdom, and then apply it to your life. And that's what Solomon wanted, and that's what Solomon did. He asked for wisdom to rule his people, or God's people, the best he possibly could. Now, can it get better? Well, we know it got better, didn't it? If we read on in 1 Kings chapter 3, it says there in verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And then we get verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Can he get any more, this guy? Both riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And so, because of Solomon's godly response and his desire to have the wisdom to be able to lead the people of God better, the Lord not only gave him the wisdom, but he also gave him all the things that he could have asked for, but he didn't ask for, which is often the way that God acts. And there it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness, and I'll look after all the other things that you need in your life. And that's what Solomon got, that and more. I don't suspect he needed all the things he got, but he certainly got an overabundance of everything. He had a good fellowship with God, his Lord God, Jehovah. He had the kingdom. He had a family. He had wisdom. And not only that, he had the riches. He had the honor. He had the peace. And this was all given to him by God himself, which is the blessing in itself. And so he didn't have to sit back and think, is God upset with me because I have all these things? Is he thinking I'm just being very greedy? No, these were blessings from God. He could certainly sit back and say, I am a man who is truly blessed by God. And everything he saw, he could thank God for, because he knew God gave it to him. And so he certainly hit the ground running. From the day he was born, from the day he was made king, and then after this, things just kept getting better and better and better for Solomon. But what intrigues me about Solomon is, although he was given great wisdom, many of his decisions were rather foolish. And he may have been given great wisdom, but at times he didn't seem to apply it. And you know, we do that. We have God's word. We have all the wisdom we need. And if you study and know God's word well enough, you know what God says you should be doing. But how often do you know what God says, but you choose to do something differently? And that's sadly what Solomon did. And I would say that the biggest mistake and the worst decision that he made was to multiply wives unto himself from nations around about him. That was not just something that God would have planted in him as being an unwise thing. It was all actually in the scriptures as well, that as a king, you weren't to multiply wives unto yourself, and you weren't to marry those from other nations as well, because they will steal your heart away from the Lord, and you'll go off and seek their gods instead. And so he did make some foolish decisions despite being so wise. And when we get to the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's where I'd like you to turn, all right? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. When we get to Ecclesiastes, which was written by Solomon, we see the results of these bad decisions, or particularly this bad decision, and we see a very different Solomon. Surely after you see all the wonderful, amazing things that were happening to him and got what God gave him, and no doubt he praised God for his blessings, when we get to this time when he is older and reaping the bad decisions that he made, we see a very different Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. This is Solomon, not a young man. He's an older man who now reaping the benefit, the various things of the decisions he made. You see, when he was younger, he had some big decisions to make. Decisions that would determine what direction he would go in life. And if you're of the younger category here, and I'd even put that from 30 down, all right? Now, there was a day when I didn't think that was 30s were really old, all right? But trust me, from 30 down, there are decisions in your life and they will determine the direction you go. And then when you are an older person, you're going to look back and you're going to say, that was a very wise decision. Thank you, God, for helping me with that. Or you're going to look back and say, that was a very foolish decision. And now I have to reap the consequences of it. And that's exactly what Solomon was doing now. It says there in verses 2 and 3, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? As far as Solomon was concerned, everything was pointless. Everything was empty and vain. Nothing seemed to matter or have purpose. This certainly wasn't a happy man. And the reality is, there are many people just like Solomon today. They have so many things. They might have a wonderful family. They might have a wonderful marriage. They might have money to spare. They might have good friends, but they are still absolutely miserable inside. And it's usually for the same reason Solomon was miserable at this stage. And why was Solomon so unhappy? Why was he so negative and everything seemed vain? Well, if you peel back the layers and you remove all the mistakes and get rid of all the arguments, you'll find that instead of finding his joy from the Lord, he started to try and find joy from the things of this world. And he discovered there was no joy truly in it. He had turned to the world for his joy. When he first loved the Lord, at the beginning he loved the Lord, loved his work, loved his people. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. We saw that by the request that he made to the Lord when he was a young king. But when his love became the things of the world and not the Lord, everything in the world all of a sudden seemed empty and miserable. You see, the things in this world are empty without the Lord. You talk to some of the richest people in this world today, and they will tell you how empty they still feel, and it doesn't matter how much they buy and how much they have, there is still this emptiness within them. And some of them come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they can tell you where the real joy is found, and they'll express that. But when you have the Lord, well, then everything in this world seems great. Everything is 100 times better. If you're married and you have a close relationship with the Lord, your marriage is 100 times better than not having the Lord. Your friends, having friends is 100 times better. Having Wealth is 100 times better when the Lord is the center of your life. Sadly, there's too many people walking around like, I used to do it lots when I was a kid. You get an egg and you put a hole either end, and then you blow and blow and blow, and you blow everything on the inside out and get rid of the yolk and the white, and then you got something that looks just like an egg. And it might impress everyone, but it's completely empty inside. And same with this world. It's empty when the Lord isn't in it. And Solomon found that out the hard way. And if a man who was given so much wisdom fell into this trap, then that means that normal people like us are certainly tempted to do so ourselves, and more than likely will at times. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that there have been times in our life where we put aside the Lord and our relationship with Him, and other things become far more important to us. And there is an excitement at the beginning, and then we're having a good time, but then as we start to get involved in it more and more and we have less to do with the Lord, that doesn't seem very fulfilling after a while. And there is an emptiness. And maybe that's where you're at today. We all go through these cycles. And you have taken your eyes off the Lord. Your love for the Lord is certainly not like what it was. When you look back 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, I hope not 30 years, and you say, there I had a love and a passion for God and His work and His will, and life was great, but now everything just seems empty. Well, you just fell into the same trap that the wisest man other than Jesus Christ ever lived fell into. It can happen. And if you're like this now, or if you end up being like this, we need to make sure that we don't make the same mistake that Solomon did, because instead of realizing what he was missing was the Lord, he decided to just get more of the world to try and compensate, thinking that was the answer. And that's what he goes on in chapter 2 to talk about. He thinks about, thought having more of the world would make him happy. Now in chapter 2 he doesn't mention this one, but I think it's one of the obvious ones that we all know, and that is that let's just have a look at chapter 1, verse 1. He said there, verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. He thought that temporary things would relieve that sadness within him. But the fact is, when the Lord isn't in it, it doesn't happen. And we see there in chapter 2, as I was getting to, it doesn't mention it here straight away, but we can be sure that the first thing that he thought joy was found in was the company of women. We know the story that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's the right word? Yeah. Basically, he had 1,000 wives. And so he obviously thought that instead of the Lord, he could fulfill that emptiness in his heart with women. But as he says there, all is vanity. And men and women, don't think that you're going to solve the emptiness that you find with a lack of fellowship with God in the opposite sex. It doesn't matter if it's outside of marriage or wherever, you will not find that joy there. Solomon proves it. If you can have 1,000 wives and you still say, life is empty, all right? Well, then you can put that aside, as that's not going to help you with that sadness that you have inside. But then in verse 3, he says another thing that he looked for, went to, and I think this is very fitting for our world or our country. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. He thought, well, I'll go to wine. That can be my friend. And you think of our country today, and if there is something that people try to find as a compensation for missing out on that fellowship with God, it would have to be alcohol. It's sad when they cheer with the restrictions being lifted that you're allowed to stand up and drink alcohol now. And that's one of the first things they say on the news. That is sad for our country, that is one of the realities of what we are like. We find, or too many in our country, find that compensation of the sadness within in a bottle. And it's not found. Ask the alcoholic who has consumed themselves with it, and they keep going and going. It's not there. But then, if we read on, we see that he looked at other places as well. And I think this is good for us to take note of, because we might say, okay, I'm not going to be immoral or unfaithful. I'm not going to go to wine and get myself drunk or whatever. But these other things, I think we can go to, thinking that will bring joy to my soul, when really what we need is the Lord. Have a look at verse 4 onwards to 9. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith, and wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and manservants, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings of the provinces. I gat me men, singers, and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and all that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. You know, there's a lot of things that we find there that Solomon tried to consume himself with. Lots of achievements. Buildings. I built homes. Gardens. I built gardens. I planted trees. In music, I had musical instruments. I had singers. He had all of these things. He was very successful in many ways. And many who don't have the joy of the Lord think that having something like this to boast over is going to fulfill that void that's within their soul. And for many, the achievements of doing these things, they think will bring that joy. They don't live to work, but they work to live. Because there's nothing else to live for. And they want to be great. And that's what the pride of life really is about. There's so many people, they think, if I can prove how great I am by my achievements, well then that will make me feel good. But it's all emptiness inside. Solomon had all these things, and it meant nothing. And in many ways, that is a form of what you would call self-worship. I want people to think I'm great. That's how I'm going to feel good. And instead of wanting people to glorify Christ, they want people to glorify them in their achievements. And as we see here with Solomon, he said, I did all that and I still felt empty. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what we should do. If God has given you the ability to build things or to plant things or to grow things or to make things or to play things, well, you do it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ out of your expression of your love for Him. And when you do it for the Lord, because He has blessed you with this and you want His name to be glorified, those things are beautiful. But if you're just doing it for self-praise, it becomes very empty. And so despite the buildings that he built, despite the gardens, despite all the cattle he had, despite the music and the singers and the great wealth, it was all still empty. And then have a look at verse 10. It says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labors." And so this is probably taking things to the ultimate extreme. If he saw something and he liked it, he did not keep himself from it. Could you imagine being that rich? And there are some people that rich, and how dangerous that would be. You see something and you like it, so you just take it. That would be very scary. You go down to beside the sea and you see the mansions, you want it, you buy it. You just pay whatever that they'll take for it. You see a nice cruiser out there. Well, you buy it because you like it. A Ferrari goes by, I'll buy that, all right? You go into a shop, I'll buy that. Whatever you see and you enjoy and it takes your fancy, you take it. Well, that's exactly where Solomon was. And Solomon did it, and he said there in verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." You know, Solomon chose the world as his portion in life instead of the Lord as he got older. What a big mistake. And what does he say? It was all vexation of spirit. It actually hurt his soul. And it was all empty. And having tried everything in this world and having also known the joy of the Lord at the beginning of his life, he was very well equipped and experienced to tell us what we really should be thinking about in our life. He learned it the hard way. And he says there in chapter 12, if you turn over to the very end, he says there in chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The first thing he says is, don't forget God in your youth. If you're young, remember the 30 under, make sure you're seeking God first and foremost. And then he says in verses 12 and 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You know, what did Solomon say at the very end after he had enjoyed the love of God and the blessings of God and then turning away from God and trying to find pleasure in everything in the world and then coming to the realization at the end that that wasn't where it was found? He said, "My advice to you is fear God and seek Him." And friend, if you're feeling empty at the moment, as though you're missing something, maybe this church feels empty. Maybe your ministries feel empty. Maybe your marriage feels empty. Your job feels empty. Life feels empty. Everything feels empty. Well, it's not a new church you need, or a new ministry, or a new marriage, or a new job, or a new life. Maybe it's the Lord that you need, a new look at the Lord. Solomon said you need a closer walk with Him. And I'll finish by reading what Jeremiah had to say. Well, the Lord said through Jeremiah. This is what God revealed to Jeremiah for our benefit. It says there in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom," Solomon, Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What are you glorying in and seeking? I trust you can, at least from this day on, say, I glory in understanding and knowing the Lord. Sadly for Solomon, he found out the hard way that he made a big mistake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. And Lord, you do bless us with many, many blessings. Thank you that you've given us your word, that we can have wisdom to know the decisions to make for the paths that you want us to go. I pray that, Lord, we would be wise and, Lord, also soft enough to do those things where you lead us, and we will follow you as we should. And so, Lord, we pray for this, minister to our heart and soul if there are corrections that need to be made. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.